When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. My name is Marcus Speller.
My name is Jiving Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Oh, hello, everybody. Jiving Jim Campbell's got a little story to tell everybody, because he wasn't jiving the other day when he fell down his stairs at home.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've told everyone the story there, mate.
That's it.
I can fill it in with a little bit of colour, though. I got up to go to the bathroom in the morning, so I'm just in my pants. Slipped on the way down, didn't I? Landed on my coccyx, like Tracy Jordan. It's 2 days later, really painful. So I'm actually making quite a big sacrifice by sitting down for you guys today, because it is rubbing.
Are you sitting on a big pregnant lady donut they give you when you're pregnant?
No, but I should get one of them.
Yes, I think so.
Well done, Jim. Appreciate that sacrifice.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen, it's up to, you know, these days we're desperate for any football news. And when you hear the headline that Kevin Keegan could be brought back to Newcastle United if the takeover happens, you just think to yourself, that's just the ticket. It is in an ambassadorial role, we should say, because I think I suddenly got ridiculously excited and thought, no, they surely they can't. And obviously,
I think they've listened. The Saudis behind this investment fund have listened to our show from a week or two ago, Pete's impassioned plea, and the rest of us just kind of talking about it, and they've thought, we've got to win these guys over. Yeah. How are we going to win these guys over? Just go back through the archive, find out what they like, and they just chucked Kevin Keegan in the mix, and all of a sudden, I'm fully in support of it.
But to be honest, in any situation where a manager loses his job at a football club, every now and again, the kind of the person who's like up in the posh seats, the ambassador, he might come in and take over. He might sit in the dugout, Chris Hughton style, Joe Kinnear style. You know, these people get their job, their chances eventually. So he might actually become the manager one day.
So you're hoping for a third coming?
No, I'm really not. I'm just worried that he might have like diplomatic immunity, like the Saudi diplomats in London are apparently the most consistent lawbreakers amongst the whole of the Middle Eastern envoys. Oh, they are always drink driving. They're always getting into trouble, but they just go, "Hey, I'm a diplomat." So Kevin Keegan could get away with all kinds of nonsense, stealing crockery. Yeah. Oh, he'd be in Harrods nicking stuff. I'm a diplomat. Leave me alone.
Yeah, but let's be honest, Pete. He'd be the first diplomat to get arrested, wouldn't he?
He would. He really, really would. I love this. It's like the takeover team have hired a PR agency for like half an hour, like giving them no time at all to come up with something. It's like get Keegan in. Yeah, get Keegan in.
Big flags, Keegan. Who's screwing up their water bottle there?
Sorry, that was me with the Nalgene.
Right. Just leave it open, right? I know we're obsessed with germs at the moment, but just leave the bloody thing open, because all you ever hear on the Football Ramble is a Nalgene bottle getting unscrewed and screwed, as if your precious water's going to get attacked by unknown forces. Just leave it open, Luke. It's water, mate. It comes from the fucking sea. Fish piss in it.
I told my wife it's water.
Can you speak like that for the rest of the show? It's
all
very
right,
enjoyable
then.
Hearing you.
Yeah. I've known you for a decade, Pete, and I'm still no closer to understanding the things that set you off.
Yeah, no. It's weird, isn't it?
Oh, Jim, the other day, Pete got really annoyed because he got like properly one of the most annoyed I've ever seen him at the idea of people who are fans of comedy shows asking if some of the jokes were ad-libbed.
Honestly, 80% of, and I reckon this is true, 80% of the world's population genuinely believe that a comedy show is made like this. You turn up with a lot of cameras and some funny guys and they just ad-lib a comedy show, and then a week later, you've got a comedy episode. And that's how it's done.
Actually,
there's no writers.
Of course it is. Someone I once respected said that he figured with Fawlty Towers, they just did the whole episode in one take because the energy was so high. Like, as in, like, one shot.
I didn't realise you respected me, Jim.
Loath as I am, Marcus Speller, to wrestle control of the show and then wrestle it back to football. Did you see that someone had stolen a wooden, sold sign? You know, the ones you find outside a house? And they just jammed it into the hedge outside St. James's. Very enjoyable. Sold. Aww.
I like the idea that that's how some people think that the housing property market works. So if you can get hold of one of those, they must think that one of those signs costs like £1 million. If you find one and you put it in a property, that's yours. That's how it works.
You declare it as yours.
I feel sorry for the house that it was stolen from, because people will be still turning up for viewings, won't they?
Well, they shouldn't be, Marcus.
You sound like the man at my university who told me off for stealing one. Yeah. Knock.
There's no way, Pete Donaldson, you've only stole one of those in your career, ever. One, shut up.
I was nearly suspended from university for being involved in a heist that I wasn't really involved in. So, you know, wild times.
Can we hear more about this, please?
I was accused of something I had no part in. Imagine how angry I usually get when I'm accused of something I have done. Well, thermonuclear.
If you had nothing to do with it, why don't you tell us what it was?
Someone has just stolen a load of shit out. And they've stolen, like, bollards, for sale, for sold signs, and just stuck them all in the university common room, and I had nothing to do with it.
And that's a heist, is it, in your world? That's a heist.
Well, the thing is, I did kick open a door to look at the monstrosity, and that was the crime that I was accused of. I mean, I'd done that bit of it. So that was... I'd broken a lock by kicking a door open. So, I mean, in that case, breaking and entering, legally, I am liable for punishment. But I was just saying to the ex-policeman who ran the security services for our university that he's out of order. And he's not having my badge.
You admit that you did the break-in part of the break-in.
Yeah.
But feel that you shouldn't be held responsible.
Well, he sort of had me up as some kind of Oliver Twist kind of character who sort of, like, you know, was involved in the whole thing. Look, university stories and hijinks, they're always boring. But in this case, it did involve me.
You started this.
I'm just saying, I didn't do nothing, copper, and you're not going to get me for it.
Peter, could I also just say... a couple of things on here, a couple of things. Right. One is that you are very much more the Artful Dodger than Oliver Twist.
Right.
Number two, it sounds to me that you are just more annoyed that you weren't able to enjoy the spoils of war rather than anything else, because you kicked the door in but you didn't get any of the sweet spoils.
Yeah.
That's what you're annoyed with. And the third point and the final point is that everyone else knows exactly what life you've led since that day, and if the cap fits, wear it, my friend.
Okay. Bad boy for life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wear it. Cool.
Well,
I think ultimately that's the case with you.
Yeah, in many ways, I am worse than the Saudi government when it comes to my historical war crimes.
Do you know what, Pete? I'm going to have to jump in and say, I don't think in many ways, in a few ways, I would concede, but don't be too harsh on yourself.
Yeah, mate.
But
yeah.
As Luke said earlier, with regards to this proposed takeover, because obviously at the term of recording it hasn't happened, they have responded strongly with bringing in Keegan. Keegan is being used as a political soft pawn, isn't he?
Oh, it's soft power, Marcus, all over. He is the softest of all powers. His disciplinary record in Newcastle United, my word. Players used to get away with all kinds of stuff. You'd be in the dressing room, apparently, and Tino would have Keegan's jacket on and he'd be conducting the team talk. Unbelievable scenes.
Wow. Did that confuse Rob Lee?
Probably. He's probably wearing one of his own condoms.
Maybe when he's paraded on the pitch as the new ambassador, a Leeds player comes on, punches him in the face.
Oh, dearie me. Well, yeah, so we look forward to Keegan returning to Newcastle, even if it is under the new ownership. But there we are. We will wait and see for that to play itself. Or maybe Keegan, though. Actually, they've tried to play the Keegan card. Surely that is the thing that will scupper the deal somehow.
Is it too early? It's too early, the Keegan card, isn't it? That's the cherry on top, or it scuppers it.
Yeah, I think that if there's one man who can unintentionally derail this bid, it is Kevin Keegan.
Especially in an ambassadorial role where he won't have many fixed duties, so he'll just be left to his own devices. He'll get in all kinds of scrapes.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's something to look forward to either way. gentlemen, have you seen that the Eredivisie has been declared null and void in the Netherlands?
Yes. I think that's harsh on it. I know it's not the league it once was, but you know, it's still got some value. No need to just stop it altogether.
Oh, dear. Well, just, I mean, by that rationale, Jim, does that put a bit of pressure on the Scottish Premiership? I suppose it does. but there will be no relegation or title awarded in the Eredivisie this season, but the current standings will decide which teams qualify for Europe, which should keep those pencil-pushing suits at UEFA happy, Luke, shouldn't it? Because they were very concerned about qualification for European places. The Dutch seem to have found a way.
Yeah, sorry, I was just rapidly trying to remember if we talked about this on the continent on Thursday or not, which now feels to me like it was about 3 months ago. So I can't remember if we did, and as a result, I can't remember what we said if we did. But I've been pretty encouraged by the way that Ajax have dealt with it. They've been quite reasonable about it. I think it does show again, as we've said a number of times, that football is just operating within the framework it's been given by the respective governments. And UEFA have set these things out to say that if worst comes to worst, you must do this so we know what's happening next season. I understand that. I'll tell you who's had an absolute touch out of it is your friend and mine, Party Boy Pards.
Oh, yes.
Because he was 7 points from safety with 8 games to play. Yeah. And as sure as seagulls follow the trawler, there was straight away swirling around a rumour, which I have to say for legal reasons, that Alan has since denied and cleared up. But there was a rumour that came out straight away that the big man's getting 100 grand for avoiding relegation.
Hello.
It's a particularly rich, even for Alan, who has said, to be fair to him, he has said that, you know, that's not true. And if it contractually it has to be given, it will be given back to the club and to a charity, which is absolutely the right thing to do. But
he was very clear about that.
Listen, 7 points from safety with 8 games to play, and you're not being relegated because of some mad event. I mean, some obviously tragic, but quite unpredictable event. I wonder what that means for Alan, the future of Alan's managerial career at Den Haag.
Well, he's still under contract at Newcastle, so he's going to go back to Newcastle. It'll be fine.
It's a Dutch touch, isn't it? He's had a Dutch touch.
Absolutely. Speaking of that, right, that's a really good way of describing the movie that we're going to talk about later.
A Dutch touch.
Right, come on. I did quite like the bottom of the league side, RK Walwick, I think it's pronounced.
I think it's Valvik, perhaps. Valvik.
I think it's Valvik.
Is it Valvik, is it? Thank you, cousins. They avoided almost certain relegation because of the decision. And the managing director said about the Dutch Football Association, the Dutch Football Association, the KNVB, Valvik. Said they've made... they've made the decision we hoped for this afternoon. I love that. Completely unequivocal. This is what we wanted.
He has a fantastic name as well. He's called Frank van Mosselveld.
Very enjoyable.
That's amazing. Mm. The best part about Big Pard's statement. It's a couple of sentences I just want to draw people's attention to, right? The first one is, of course there is relief, but modesty is appropriate at this moment. And the second one is, although it is important that our club stays where it belongs, we count our blessings and understand the frustrations of Cambuur and De Graafschap, two clubs who look like they were certain to be promoted into the top flight. So, you know, joking aside, it's funny when you think of Pardew saying things like that in terms of modesty is appropriate, because all I think about is that gif of him dancing the FA Cup final.
Yeah.
But
in a Dutch modesty.
Yeah, exactly. But Cambuur and De Graafschap can consider themselves to be very hard done by. But as we keep talking about, it's all about the least fair option, isn't it? Not the most fair option, the least unfair option. So, least unfair, to make that absolutely clear.
I think that this will be the way that other European leagues go, because it keeps UEFA happy. And I do understand the whole European places for next season, if indeed next season is a regular season. As the months go by, it seems less likely, but there we are. We'll wait and see for that. But they've sorted out the European places, should keep UEFA happy. It is very frustrating for the teams who are going for promotion, of course. As you say, Luke, Ajax have been quite sort of relaxed about the whole thing, with their CEO and former Fulham goalkeeper Edwin van der Sar saying, you know, we understand this, we wanted to win the league, blah, blah, blah. But that is for a side who win the league quite regularly, whereas AZ Alkmaar, who were second on goal difference, were a little bit more pissed off. But yeah. I think that seems to be the way that this will probably go. I know the Germans and now the Italians are going to start training soon and try and squeeze a bit of football in, but I think this is probably going to be the way forward.
I think it is, and I think it shows that, again, they're just the clubs, the football leagues are very much at the mercy of what's happening in the respective countries in terms of how the pandemic has been dealt with and how badly it's been hit. They're restricted in a big way. It's great news that Italians might be coming back training. It looks like German football might be back as well next month, which is fantastic. There's a meeting about that at the end of this month. It will vary across Europe by country, and that's why UEFA has got such a challenge.
I just think it's sort of really pleasant to start contrast in Europe how silly borders are, because it's sort of like, right, in the Netherlands we're going to be doing this, and then in Germany we're going to be doing something completely different, and then in Belgium we're going to be doing this, and in Scotland we're going to be doing this, and then in England we're going to be... It's just like, it's mad, isn't it? Countries are mad. It blows my damn
pipe
mind.
Pipe down, John Lennon, you disgusting
just
hippie.
Bring it all together. Bring back Pangea, baby.
Yeah. Love a bit
of Pangea.
Go and
do your national service. You beat me.
No way.
Do you think, though, that will certain clubs in the Premier League see this? And maybe in Liverpool they'll say, well, actually, we're testing everybody, so could we just have one more home game, please? Just to get us over the line.
Yeah.
Could happen. Oh, speaking of Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp apparently has had a chat with Kylian Mbappe's father to discuss young Kylian's future. He's obviously not heard, or he's got a blatant disregard for the rumours linking Kylian Mbappe now to Newcastle. But the price tag for Mbappe could be as high as £250 million, some suggest, although in the current climate, who knows what that'll be. But Klopp, I quite like the idea of Klopp sort of phoning someone's dad saying, come on, you know, get involved. But he obviously realises that at the moment, Liverpool are at the peak of their powers, probably since the 80s, you'd argue, you know, European champions and effectively champions of England. So why not give Kylian Mbappe's dad a quick call, eh?
Yeah, I think he's played a blinder here.
Is Mbappe's dad, like, in any way aware of, like, tapping up? Is this not a tapping up situation to do it through the dad? I don't know.
Can you tap up a dad?
Well,
you know?
I don't know. I mean, unless his dad's his agent, I'm not sure of the...
Well, his dad is represented by his relatives. But, Pete, still, I think there is a little bit of a case to answer there, perhaps, but that depends on whether you think that the laws and the rules are fit for purpose. Because if you look at Patrice Mertens at Napoli, which I think, Marcus, you want to come on to in a wee bit, he's out of contract in June, so I think he's free to talk to whoever he wants. But I do think the protocol... The problem is these rules change all the time, but as far as I'm aware, the protocol is you should approach the club first.
Yeah, can I talk to your dad? Get your dad on the line.
I don't think it's just a case of saying, hello, I'm a friend of your dad's. Can you put your dad on? I don't think that's happening. I think he is his licensed representative.
Yeah, I'm your uncle, Jurgen. Klopp here, and I want to say hello to you.
Yeah. I really think he's played a blinder here, Klopp, because he's very, very aware that if you are a dad who is into football, Klopp is the number one dad crush. Like, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think there's anyone in football that a dad would rather be mates with.
Oh, right.
So he's aware of his own pulling power and has used it.
What about Neymar Senior? I think he'd be a tough enough to crack.
No, because he lets himself down just by doing whatever the fuck he wants whenever he wants.
He's a bit Meghan Markle's dad, isn't he? He's a wild man. Yeah.
Well, he is. He lets Neymar miss games to go and flirt with his own sister on her birthday consistently. It's really weird.
I love that.
It's really
odd. One
of my
favourite stories in football, that weird stuff. Oh, I love it.
Really bizarre.
Peter, that is by some measure the most excited I've heard you on the show for a few months.
Oh, mate,
so.
that yeah. It's like the Boardwalk Empire. Boardwalk Empire. That bloke who sleeps with his mum. Right, cool.
Oh, for goodness sake, Peter.
Oh, what? We're allowed to skirt around the idea of incest, but if I put a name on it, if I'm in the 6-yard box, I put it away. It's a problem, is it? Right, okay, sorry.
I think it's never been clearer how much you desperately need a garden at this difficult time. Can I make a semi-serious point about Liverpool, Marcus? Because you started off by saying, you know, they're in that amazing position of power. Mm. And one of the things that typified the great Man United side of the 90s and beyond in the Premier League was that they obviously famously recruited from a position of strength because they were able to get better deals. They felt that they didn't need to make bad decisions out of desperation, et cetera, et cetera. And I wonder if Klopp is – I mean, it's all sort of dealt out with a healthy dose of cynicism, because of course I'm of the opinion that people desperately need traffic to their websites and to their newspapers and all the rest of it. And so when there's no football, you know, a Kylian Mbappe, Jurgen Klopp shaped story with 250 million quid attached to it does tend to get people clicking away. But if Klopp is going down that road of, along with the Liverpool hierarchy, strengthening from a position of strength already, that bodes very, very badly for the rest of the Premier League, to be honest.
I like the fact that Kylian Mbappe appears to be the only Kylian in football, which is just enjoyable.
What other Kylians? Oh, because it's a French variation of on Cillian, the Irish name, right? So Kylian Murphy, for example.
There's got to be a Kylian football player.
I can't think of one.
Yeah, I'll find out.
Let him play for Kilimarnock.
Yeah. Kylian McMahon. The speculation over Sadio Mane's future, which again was attached to this article, so I totally get what you're saying, Luke, about sort of clickbaiting. So, but Mbappe's name has been linked to Liverpool previously.
Hang on, you guys, sorry to cut in, Marcus, but Aiden and Torgan Hazard's got a brother called Kylian who plays for Cercle Bruges.
There you go.
Are we having that as like a top league?
He was
football
at Chelsea for a bit.
Well, that always happens, doesn't it? Your brother rocks up. Yeah. They get a couple of they get a loan move and then they just disappear. Just bring my brother.
I'm going to make Andy Brassel do 45 minutes on Kylians in football on Thursday.
Good.
Great. Yeah. No, I think if Mane was to leave Liverpool, which I mean, I'd be surprised if he did.
It's a weird move, isn't it?
Who's he been linked with, Marcus?
Well, I don't know. I think he's probably just people are suggesting he's assessing his options. You know, he's won a lot there, but you know, he hasn't got the Premier League winners medal yet. Yeah. You know,
maybe he's just not getting the money that he thinks he deserves.
He's got a big contract. He signed one not that long ago. He's under contract for another 3 years.
I'd be surprised if he left. I mean, there could be sort of family reasons. I don't know. But if he was to leave, I think Mbappe would be a good replacement.
he wouldn't be too bad, would he? Wouldn't kick him out of bed.
There's really anyone in the world that doesn't apply to, right?
Oh, yeah, go on then. I'll tell you what, go on then.
Yeah. Pete, all joking aside...
Where would I put him in Newcastle side? Yeah, I would farm him out... Farm him out on the left. The Joe Linton.
That's where he's going to play at Liverpool.
Look, the Joe Linton project is not over for me, all right? So we need him in the number 9, fox in the box kind of situation. Mbappe on the left. Lovely old job.
Can I just say I love the idea of the takeover going through. I don't love the idea of that, but just for the purposes of this discussion, the takeover goes through. They've got Big Sven as the manager because yeah, he might as well sniff out a contract, Sven. And the first meeting Sven has with Kylian Mbappe is an hour long meeting face to face about how he's got to fight for his place ahead of Joel Linton because Joel Linton was an investment made personally by the chairman,
Christian Atsu,
the last chairman. Yeah. Just saying the names of the other players makes me laugh.
If the Saudis brought in Sven as manager, that would really compromise my, you know, stance against these sort of horrible takeovers and all this kind of stuff. I'd be like, oh man, you really are trying to make me dance to my own tune. Frank Lampard apparently has made direct contact with Dries Mertens with a possible move to Chelsea. Frank Lampard, he's not messing around. He's not phoning Dries's father or anything like that. He's going straight to the man himself. Napoli's top scorer of all time, Jim Campbell. Could he provide goals for Chelsea? That's the question.
You would think so. Yeah, he's 32, isn't he now, Big Dries? But I'd like to see him in the Premier League because I think he's a very good player. Likeable chap too. Although, obviously, ideally, I don't want him to strengthen Chelsea. Although, actually, if they sign him, maybe they'll stop trying to sign Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang like everyone is. Like absolutely everyone is. I think he might have kicked his last ball for Arsenal, you know?
You're going to have to... A lot of other clubs are going to have to sign a lot of people. It's like a Rubik's Cube with Aubameyang. You know, that blocks the Chelsea thing, but then you've got all the other clubs that are supposedly interested.
But I think Dries Mertens would add a lot to them. They are a little... they're a little light up top, aren't they? Obviously, Tammy Abraham has done very, very well, but Giroud is quite underrated. But I think there is space in there for somebody like him, especially with that sort of experience. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he'd be a good signing. I mean, but I know what you mean. He's not as young as he was, but of course none of us are. But with the sort of style Chelsea play under Lampard, I think he'd be decent. I could see him linking with the likes of Mount and if Willian stays. I know there was chat about him sort of 2 or 3 year deals and so on. And we know he looks fantastic in blue as well. I think that's a big consideration.
That's key, isn't it? For me, it's an interesting situation, chiefly because he's out of contract, so they'd be able to get him without a transfer fee. But in that season under Sarri, where they eventually came third, 16-17, where he just smashed the goals and he scored about 35 goals, that was when he was at his absolute peak. I don't know if he's at his peak now. I'm going to get Andy to do a bit more of a deep dive on him on Thursday. Yeah. But with that 4-3-3, they've played a lot this season, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. he could surely be playing one of the wider forward positions of that and of that three. And Marcus, I think you're right. I think what you alluded to there about the fact that he might be a replacement for Willian could well be the case, right?
Yeah, but he can play down the middle as well. I think he's quite versatile.
Do you reckon in the Prem?
Well, no, but I'm sorry, that's where he's...
I reckon that's tougher in the Premier League.
Yeah, but that's where he's primarily played for Napoli, and defences tend to be a bit stingier in Serie A, as we know. So I think that he would be a player that you could try out, and he's very experienced and knows where the goal is. I think he'd be a good asset. I know what you mean. I don't think... It's not the type of forward where he comes in and you think, he's going to get 20 goals and he's going to help really push Chelsea on. You know, it wouldn't be as if they signed Aubameyang or somebody like that. But I think he would be a good player. He would be a good addition.
Do you think?
Experienced player around the... Go on, Pete.
Do you think that, like, Frank Lampard's obviously his entire Chelsea experience, or certainly the most successful years in the Blues, has been where they've had quite experienced forwards? And I think with Dries Mertens, like... He has got a very young squad, and people talk about how young and inexperienced the squad is. So, like, these kind of characters, so important to have in the dressing room, but also on the pitch, just showing, you know, forward players how to bloody move and how to attack and how to, you know, beat the last man and stuff. He's not going to be beating many last men. That's not very clear, but, you know, just powering through into the box. Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying. I think in European competition, you know, his experience would certainly help as well.
Drogba two. He's Drogba two. Experience, power.
I thought you were saying get Drogba back too, and I was a bit like, well, I think
it's hard to think. It's hard to think of someone with a more different physical profile than
Didier Drogba. Yeah,
than Dries Mertens. Yeah,
he's got the same age. That's what I'm saying.
He does. He does. Gentlemen, I'd like to bring to your attention Barcelona, who announced recently that they would be selling the naming rights to their stadium for the first time ever since the Nou Camp opened in 1957. And they're going to donate the revenue to fighting coronavirus. So it's quite a worthy cause, you would think. Now, the club have given the naming rights to the Barca Foundation, who will find a sponsor for the 2020-2021 season. Now, this is where it takes a bit of a twist.
Well, because Real Madrid have bid.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
We'll give you $100 million to call it the Santiago Bernabeu.
Sports Direct.
Mike Ashley's involved. Yeah. That'd be amazing.
He's got a pocket so full of money.
Loser bowl.
Loser bowl.
$300 million I'll spend on that.
Well, actually, Marcus, you are a great one for an accidental, adorable typo. And in the running order, you did initially put Nou Camp as Boob Camp. So
I thought it was a joke.
Consider that.
Yeah, accidental. well, Mike Tyson's billionaire business partner, Alki David, I think it's pronounced Alki, could be Alki, but I'm going to go with Alki David, says he'd love to name the stadium after their cannabis company. Now, if you were a representative of Barcelona and someone phoned up and said, "Hi, it's Alki David here. I'd like my cannabis company to get involved with the naming rights." I'm not sure how seriously you take that.
Marcus, that is a sentence that keeps giving, doesn't it? Let's recap this. Mike Tyson's billionaire business partner, Alki David, says he'd love to name the Barcelona Stadium after their cannabis company. It just keeps going, that.
Yeah, he's a Greek billionaire. I think he was involved very heavily in the Coca-Cola company back in the day. But he's a man who paid $50 million. $50 million after being found guilty of sexual battery in the workplace. Birds of a feather, him and the old boxer, isn't it? It's just that's what you want around your club, old Barcelona, because obviously they've got this kind of like big thing about being a community club and all that stuff. Yada yada yada. Bring him in, weed, sexual battery, rape. We'll have it. Lovely.
Yeah. Well, Alki David was Alki David. Alki Dave was asked whether he thought it'd be a good look for Barcelona to be involved with a cannabis company. And David simply replied, "That remains to be seen. The world is born on ideas."
Well, I mean, we've all been to the Nou Camp.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of cannabis in it at all times. So actually,
perfect.
Yeah, it is actually weirdly quite a good fit on that level.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there we are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Luke, what's happening on Patreon?
Well, those listening on Friday will remember we ran a competition for our Patreon subscribers with our friends at Toshiba. There's a chance to win a very, very nice Toshiba HD 4K TV. We dished out three of them, we said, and I'm delighted to announce that the following three people are recipients of a Toshiba TV each. So pin your ears back. Here we go. Joel Penn.
Go on, Joel.
Do you want to give him a round of applause each time? Joel Penn.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on, Joel.
Okay. Next up, Russ Wren.
Russ Wren. Oh.
Good name, Russ
Good
Wren.
Name.
Good
name.
Big Wren.
And finally, last but by no means least, probably the name of the lot, Jim Arrowsmith.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Love that, Pete.
Not heard that since the days of One-Eyed Willie.
We'll be in touch with you guys, Russ, Jim and Joel. Thank you very much for being Patreon subscribers. Enjoy your new TVs. I'm sure there'll be new competitions to come in months to come, but do sign up to Patreon at patreon.com/footballrambleday. There's loads of great content on there for your $5 or your $10 or whatever you're committed to spending. So it's worth it anyway, but we'll try and run a competition or two again between now and whenever in the coming months. That's all thanks to our friends at Toshiba. Thank you very much to them as well. That's the Patreon update.
Lovely.
Now, Peter, before you drop those emails, you've got a little announcement, haven't you?
Full of announcements this show. I mean, we said there's no football, but we still managed to fill 50 minutes every week, so don't worry about it, guys. I want you guys to keep an eye on our socials this week, at Football Ramble on Twitter and our Instagram as well. we've had a bit of a collaboration. We've got a collaboration video going up between us and the boys over at IGN UK, Josh Scrabbles and Simon Cardi. I have been basically going through a virtual Football Manager-based England tournament in Euro 2020. So basically, they're going to be playing the games. We're going to be commentating on them here at Football Ramble Daily. And we're going to be putting a link up very, very soon indeed. So keep an eye. That's at Football Ramble on Twitter. It's a lot of fun. I did a couple of videos with Luke. And I think, Marcus, you did some with Jim. We got Jules in there. We got Andy Brassel as well. And I think the lads were genuinely surprised at how much, certainly, Marcus Speller disapproved of anybody touching his beloved England, even on Football Manager.
Yeah, I heard them say that. I didn't quite know what that. I appreciated that they made Sven the manager, not Gareth Southgate. I'm not sure what they meant by Jim. Do you remember the ones we were commentating on, the sort of tactic? Was it tactical decisions or something?
I can't remember you being particularly negative, Marcus, but then as Pete points out, you are so beholden to England that perhaps it just came through in the tone.
Yeah.
I think it was probably St George's Day, so Marcus' spirits were running high, I think.
Well, anyway, do check Maybe. Out. Do keep watching our socials for that video. It is very, very funny indeed.
Oh, very, very funny. Very, very serious too. And right now, it's time for emails with PED.
It is time for emails with a PTD. My name is PTD, so I'll be the one who are dispatching them. If you want to get in touch with the show, as that jingle just said, just get involved by sending an email to show@footballrambledaily.com. Now, hello to Lewis. Hello from Shanghai, China. My name is Lewis. I'm a lifelong Pompey fan. And last week's Mask Winger got me reminiscing about the former Pompey favourite, Loire Loire. If memory serves me right, this all took place following the demolition derby when Pompey beat the Saints 4-1 at home in 2005. Loire Loire scored two beauties and was subbed in the first half after getting injured. Safe to say, we were riding high as Pompey fans for weeks afterwards, despite Loire Loire being temporarily out of the squad because of said injury. So imagine my 14-year-old delight. It's not a sentence you want to hear, does it? When Loire Loire drives past my mum's pub. Loire Loire's just driving past his mum's pub, the old Oyster House. One of the regulars ran out and flagged the car down and asked Lumana to come in. Apparently he resisted, but eventually decided to come in and meet some of his fans. It was great to have my picture taken with him, and I gushed with admiration at the local hero for 10 minutes until he eventually thanked everyone and left. I wondered how one of the customers was able to recognise Lualua out of the window of the pub and grab him as he drove by. Our pub was accessible by a single road due to the university campus behind it, so it wasn't a prime location for casually driving around. Then as Lualua drove away, I noticed a not-so-subtle behemoth of a Land Rover Jeep-style vehicle with spinning rims, loud music blaring and the licence plate Lualua 1UA1UA. I was still elated and I felt like Lady Luck had gifted me with a beautiful story about meeting a hero that I would be able to tell my classmates about and be the envy of all my Pompey fanmates. However, over the next fortnight, I proceeded to see Lamana around Portsmouth four more times, cruising in his humble rim-spinning Lualua Jeep, accidentally meeting fans on the streets and acting coy when fans chanted his name and talked about his performance against our local rivals. A man who truly knows how to bask in the glory of a derby win. And somersault in front of Bobby Robson at Fratton Park was just a taste of how much he loves celebrating a goal, because he was celebrating those goals against Southampton for weeks. Thank you very much, Lewis.
Good lad.
Just enjoyable. Jake Rosenberg points out that the MLS sort of keeper versus keeper shootout we were talking about was actually a goalkeeping competition in an all-star event. In America, they love like those all-star games where they just get the best players in the league and they just play against each other, which I think they should do in the Premier League. But in the lead of the game, apparently, they tried to copy the NBA's dunk contest and three-point contest by having skills competition. That's where the goalkeeping competition was started. And the keeper were just, you know, throwing balls at each other. It was never actually included in a meaningful game. However, the original...
Yeah, I think we knew that, didn't we, anyway?
Yeah, maybe.
The goals were about 20 metres apart.
That would be weird to sort of see the goals being wheeled together. But yeah, he does bring up the wonderful MLS penalty shootout where you got a run from the centre circle, which I do think should be brought into something.
Classic.
I do love that. So there you go. Thank you very much to Jake Rosenberg for that email. Eric Dubois. Hello, Eric. Greetings from Ottawa, Canada, on the coldest capital city in the world on Friday morning. Great job, despite the circumstances, keeping myself and many others sane. On to the subject, though. I'm surprised that you haven't talked about Joe Buck, a legendary sports commentator being offered $1 million by the pornographic providers Pornhub to comment on cam girls. He turned it down, though, much to the dismay of his wife. I'm not going into the Twitter. I don't want to read about him. But which of your favourite Premier League commentators would you like to talk of your pornography? Barry Davies, yeah. All the time. I think Barry Davies.
I imagine.
I wouldn't put Barry. I wouldn't put Barry through it. I think it's unfair.
I don't know. And you have to say that's magnificent.
You have to say that that IKEA side table really is something else. Fantastic.
Oh, what a penalty!
Hudson. Yeah. Ray Hudson, anyone?
Imagine the state of that.
I think I'd like to hear. I'd like to hear Luke and Pete have a go now that they've done the IGN commentary.
I'll do it.
Did the other day.
So send us your porn, guys.
I like that you're distancing yourself from that, Marcus.
Very much so, Jim. Yeah. And I'm taking you with me.
Marcus, you've thrown me right under the bus there. Because doing commentary with Pete would be very, very difficult in that situation. Are you suggesting that we should be in the same room as well?
What, as the people performing? I don't think so.
As each other.
You should be remote. I love the fact that Joe Buck turned it down. I thought, thank goodness for that. Is there a pun there? I'm not sure.
Almost certainly.
Oh, by the way, I suddenly thought to myself when just you mentioned Barry Davies and then mentioning the stuff we did for the lovely chaps at IGN, I suddenly thought, oh, I think I know what they're talking about, me being a bit miserable. I channeled my inner Barry Davies, and Barry Davies used to get quite frustrated with England at tournaments. Yeah. Saying England aren't passing the ball very well. They've got to do this better. They've got to do that. And I think that's what I was doing. So I suppose they were a bit like, all right, lighten up, you miserable sod. Yep. Jim was my Trevor Brooking.
Lighten up, you miserable sod.
Yeah, quickly, can we just go back to this commentator? Pete, did you say that his wife was disappointed that he turned it down? Or do you mean relieved?
It's a lot of money. I'm relieved. Don't use that word. I think it's just a lot of money to do what he's probably doing in lockdown anyway.
She's like, I'm not being funny, but I know what you're doing.
Yeah,
there. I know what you're doing. And all of a sudden, you don't want $1 million for it.
Yeah, you'll do it for free.
Yeah, under a different name, Joe. But...
if you want to... Oh. Marcus, you can't say that you're above everything and then constantly bring up the man's name because it rhymes with fuck. So let's be clear about this. You're a man at an orgy wanking in the corner. You're a disgrace, Marcus.
How dare you? How bloody dare you? That's an absolute... You said that in lockdown. You'd have never said that face-to-face, you dirty little pervert. And let me tell you something. Saying the man's name is not the same... as saying something in the same way, being an innocent bystander is not the same as committing the crime, as you suggested it was earlier in the show.
It's an amazing insight into Pete's character that any kind of dipping of a little finger into the idea of something that might be possible is just the same as just getting right in there, chest deep, and doing everything you want.
Oh, I'm too good for this. I couldn't possibly. Oh, his name rhymes with something naughty. Oh, if you want to get in touch with the show, it's shortfootballramblesdaily.com. Oh, that rhymes with cum.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. It literally doesn't.
Not cum, though.
I was wondering how long it would take us to completely lose the plot in lockdown. I've got my answer.
Yeah. Here we are. Okay. Let's have a bit of sanity back, ladies and gentlemen. It's now time for Pete's Film Club.
Pete's Film Club.
It is time for the film club, and oh my days. I think this is my favourite film. We'll get on to it, obviously. This time round on Pete's Film Club, we went for a film by the name... oh my word. By the name of Hot Shot. It was available on Amazon Prime if you want to watch it yourself. But basically, the plot goes as follows. An American soccer player tries to make it big, turning to Pelé, a man who's retired from football, the greatest soccer player of all time, for guidance.
I almost didn't recognize you with your beard.
How do you know me?
I've idolized you since I was a little kid. You're the greatest soccer player that ever lived.
Thank you.
I want you to teach me soccer.
I am out of soccer.
Look, I'm desperate.
You want to be my assistant?
Sure, yeah.
No soccer. That's clear?
That's clear. You're gonna live here forever?
Why not?
It seems kind of remote for the world's greatest soccer player.
I like altitude. You live in New York.
I was trying out for this professional soccer team, the New York Rockers. Making the Rockers was the most important thing in my whole life. I even pretended to be poor, so the other players wouldn't resent me.
Hey, it's about time we got some talent on this field.
You want me to teach you some soccer tricks?
No, it's more than tricks. I need something.
Now you're gonna learn. Time for school.
Guys, Hot Shots. How good was this film?
Not very.
I feel like I want to jump straight in and say that I first of all think that without question, the idea that Pelé be described as the greatest soccer player of all time was almost certainly contractual. And I also want to say that I thought this was obviously absolutely shit, but I also quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I stuck it out. I wasn't bored. I got through to the end, chuckling away to myself. And for those who haven't seen it, if I had to give you a log line to describe it in like a sentence, I would basically say it's like a gay football and karate kid.
It is, yes. Yeah. The subtext. I mean, it's been a pretty filthy show, let's face it, but this film... is so wonderfully homoerotic, but not this kind of like a genuine kind of like heartfelt. It just looked like gay pornography at every point.
Yeah, every single scene. He was with Pelé. Yeah. They're with their tops off, sweating, doing some kind of manual labour or sport, and they share and exchange quite longing looks at each other over and over again.
Yeah, because there's also a part in it where the idea is that Pelé is training this guy because for some reason the logic of this guy's head in the plot is that he's not getting into his team, so he goes down to Brazil to basically be Pelé's butler in exchange for Pelé teaching him soccer, in his words. And there's a point where during this training, Pelé's giving him a piggyback. And I'm not really sure
it's like your
what element that doing?
Of football training that is.
I never understood how
topless
he got
piggyback, of course.
Yeah,
I never understood how he knew where Pelé lived.
Well,
Pelé
that's never made clear.
Pelé's living way out in the sticks, So he goes to Rio, yeah. Right? Obviously gets mugged straight away at gunpoint. You know, lovely little stereotype of Brazil there. And then he sort of gets on the back of, you know, like a fruit van or lorry and just sort of hitchhikes his way into the middle of nowhere, turns up at Pelé's gaff, right? And then is a bit like, oh, how you doing? I've come from the States. I'd like to learn soccer. And Pelé goes, no. And then, oh, so he kips on the beach and then just sort of hangs around the area. And Pelé's like, oh, well, you again? Yeah. Can you teach me soccer? No. Can I be your assistant? All right, but no soccer. Yeah, all right. That's definitely going to be kept.
But it starts...
And then it goes from there.
Yeah, but it starts with, like, the opening shot is the guy who is an absolute hottie.
Oh, that's amazing.
The opening shot is him arriving in Rio, yeah. And the first thing he does is go to Christ the Redeemer and just stand in front of him and look out on the city. I don't know about you, but when I go to a city, I go to the biggest tourist hotspot and just look out over the city. I don't go to my hotel and have a shower after, a seven-hour flight.
That's so good. It's like he's surveying Rio. He's like, right, this is just want to get my bearings. This is what I'm up against. Okay, yeah.
Can I also say, like, the one thing that it took me a while to put my finger on this. It's a film, and again, this is for people who haven't seen it. It's more of an observation to kind of describe it to them. But it's made in the 80s, right? So it's made with that sort of weird sheen on it, and that weird soundtrack, which Jim actually pointed out was done by William Orbit, which I had no idea. Wow. But it makes the whole thing quite fever dreamy. Mm. And what they do is, for some reason, at the end of each scene, they leave about half a second too long, so every single scene just feels like it's been stitched together with the next one, and you don't really ever make a connection between the story that's happening. It's a really bizarre situation, and there's an insane bit in it where he's with his mate who for some reason gets involved in an aerial challenge, and then he's just will never walk again, just to put a bit of added
that's
jeopardy
Billy Warlock,
in it.
But mate.
It is, yeah. He's in Baywatch, wasn't he? He was in Baywatch, yeah. I think. But anyway, before that happens, they go to this diner, and it's like a double date thing. And he's with this girl, and for one reason or another, he's living in a motel, and he goes back to the motel with this girl from the diner, and he's teaching her about soccer, and he's got a board on the bed, and this is in 1987, by the way, He's teaching her about football, and he's. He's using tactics and formations, and his team are playing a 2-3-5 formation, right? Which, I mean, I'm no Jonathan Wilson, but I'm fairly certain in 1987 that was not happening, because according to the research I did, and I found something in the Telegraph, that was football's default formation from the 1880s to the 1920s. Yeah. So he's using a formation to describe football as a professional athlete that is 60 years out of date. And I'm not, that for me is a deal breaker.
Didn't Rafa Benitez on his first date with his wife explain 4-4-2? I was just thinking of that kind of side of things. The whole story is kind of like, we've not really sort of mentioned the fact that he's a rich boy who's trying to get into a New York based professional soccer team, and he's pretending that he is poor. Because he doesn't want his teammates to kind of like mug off his teammates by being this rich kid who's managed. He doesn't want to be Mido, basically, and he wants to get in this new job. But I have never seen a footballer, I've never seen a man pretending to be a footballer be more ill at ease kicking a football. In every scene where he has to side foot a football, he looks like he's slipping over with a standing foot every single time. It's brilliant.
He looks like Santiago Munoz.
No, he's Munoz. Can actually kick a football. This guy's all wonderfully awful. But I want to talk about those pitches, guys. Those New York Stadium pitches. It looked so hard on the knees. So hard.
Yeah. I think that's giant. I think, I mean, people who know more about it than me will tell you, but I think that is Giant Stadium. Mm. And if you look at some of the crowd shots they've cribbed from NFL games or whatever it is.
Probably Cosmos too.
It's a lovely touch. Right. Yeah, you can see, but you can actually see American football helmets on the bottom of the shot.
Can you?
Brilliant. The great thing about that final game at the end is that it's clearly
Jim, spoilers
like
again
because there are markings on the pitch. But you can clearly see in the shots of the football that the stadium is completely empty. Yeah. But then they cut to really, really busy crowd shots as well. And if we can just quickly go back to Billy Warlock, his last movie before Hot Shot was called Two and a Half Dads, which I love. You can tell there's, a severe lack of quality going on there. But NASL had folded in 1984, hadn't it? So this came out in 1987. Right. So there is a real otherworldly sense that they're just faking this idea that soccer is massive in America, even though it clearly wasn't, because it effectively didn't exist at the time. But I think we need to talk about the character of this man, Jimmy, the main character, because as you say, Pete, he pretends he's poor, so he doesn't get outed as a rich spoiled boy. But then he is just an arrogant bellend to everyone he meets, including Pele.
He is the most unlikable lead character in any movie I've ever seen. Ever.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
He's just
there's no even attempt at redeeming him, because when his friend gets injured, the club basically do everything they can for him. The guy even says, "Oh, we paid him more than the insurance said. We did this, we did that. We built we built everything he needs in his house." And Jimmy's like, "It's not enough." And then he threatens to quit the team, like just before this final. And then the rest of the team join him. So hang on a minute, they've gone above and beyond for this guy.
Jim, did you like the fact that he was telling? He kept saying, "Coach, I want to play. Coach, I want to play." And he just wouldn't listen to what the coach was telling
him. And then he'd go, "Coach, why won't you let me play?" And the coach would go, "You're not good enough." And he'd go, "Oh, come on. You're not giving me a reason." It's like, "No, you're not good enough, Jimmy." "Oh, come on, coach. I just want to play. What more do I got to do? Be better.
You've never played in a professional match, Jimmy. You've never played a professional match. We've not had you in any of the training matches. You don't know the formation. You think we're playing two at the back. You mentalist. Get out of my face."
Can I also just chuck out there that the script and the dialogue, precisely for what Jim is saying there, and more over and above that, the dialogue is absolutely dripping with top quality 1980s dealer's cocaine. The whole thing is like a fever dream. The whole thing is like, it's utterly bizarre.
In these films, everyone is shit at football, apart from Pele, obviously. Every single one of them, like even everybody on. So I understand if you've got the lead guy, you want him to be the lead guy. He might not be a natural player. Okay, you're going to have to work your way around that, even if it's a bit crap. All the other guys in the team, of which they're obviously, you've got a whole squad of players and some of the teams that they play, surely you can just get a load of extras who are proper players. They're all crap. And I looked at that and I thought, honestly, lads, us at the Football Ramble, if we put our 11 together, we'd hammer them. We'd absolutely hammer them. They're that bad. And one of my favourite scenes of the film, just to finish for me, is Pele's obviously on the beach showing him how to play football and do certain things. And Pele does an overhead kick and it blows the lad's mind. And he goes, "Oh, I always wondered how you did that." What do you mean? You can see.
That scene really reminded me of the end of Karate Kid when he does the crane on the...
Johnny. I had a bit of that.
Oh, it's so Karate Kid, isn't it?
It really is. Can we briefly talk about Mario Van Peebles' Jamaican character, Winston, who basically just dances and talks about reggae?
Was that Mario Van Peebles? Was that actually Mario Van Peebles? I thought Mario Van Peebles was one of the coaches.
Yeah. I believe it was Mario Van Peebles, yeah.
Yeah. Overall, we are hammering this movie and it's a bit like shooting fish in a barrel, but I do want to reiterate, of all the movies I've seen, it probably is up there with A Shot at Glory is my favourite that I've watched. Just because despite all that, it was quite enjoyably watchable in a weird way. It wasn't so cynical like Soccer Dog and just so shat out like Soccer Dog. It felt to me like I had a bit of heart and they're actually trying.
Yeah.
And so for that reason, I didn't absolutely hate it. I'd probably give it like, in the context of this film club, I'd probably give it like, I don't know, a 7 or something.
Isn't that what we gave Goal?
I found it as enjoyable as Goal.
Yeah, I did too.
Pete gave Goal 9 out of 10.
I like the fact that, Jim talks about like the cast of the characters, like the Jamaican. You got the Egyptian guy as well, Mohammed. He goes on to he's quite a celebrated kind of like actor. He's an Iron Man, and he does a lot of kind of like translation and kind of language services for Hollywood. He's quite a celebrated kind of Hollywood dude. But there's nobody else that's gone anywhere apart from Pelé. Obviously, he's just continued on his flatlining trajectory. It was an interesting Karate Kid kind of film, and I also will give it a 7.
Well, Pete, you say that, but it has got Penelope Ann Miller in it, who's in quite a lot of big movies. But obviously, she's hardly in it. Yeah. But she's in Carlito's Way. So she's hardly in it at all, though. I concede that, but I understand what you're saying. But I think that was her. I think this was her first movie, actually.
Right.
Start as you mean to go on.
Yeah, yeah. It's only the only way is up.
Yeah.
Can I just say the reason I liked it more than Goal, Jim, or I found that as enjoyable as Goal, is because Goal was given $50 million by Adidas. If these guys had been given $50 million by Adidas, they'd have killed themselves with drugs. And for that reason, for that reason alone, you've got to admire it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I like the fact that everybody in this film looked either 45 or 48. There's nobody in this film that you couldn't go, yeah, he's 48, but he looks good for it. Oh, he's 48, but he looks terrible for it.
Yeah.
Awful.
Billy Warlock.
Yeah. What's next week, Pete?
Well, next week, guys, Eddie Bear on Twitter suggested this one. It's on Netflix, so, you know, you've all got it, so don't worry about it. It's our first Bollywood film. It's a piece of cinema that had the working title Goal until 2007. I wonder why that got changed. Probably because of the film Goal, you'd imagine. It's called Dan Goal, which in English is Get Set Goal. What do you mean, oh no, Matt?
Oh, this is the one that's 2 hours and 36 minutes long.
Shut up.
Yes. Oh, you're joking.
In a last ditch.
I saw this. Pete, I saw this exchange on Twitter. So this guy suggested this.
Yeah.
Marcus pointed out it's 2 hours and 36 minutes long. The guy posted a smug gif as if to go, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah.
Look what I forced you to do. And I thought, fuck off, mate. You don't get to choose what we watch. And now you've done it.
Look, I went in, I watched the trailer, I watched a few scenes. It's got a banging soundtrack. Admittedly, it is entirely in Hindi, but it is filmed in part of... It is filmed in part at Millwall's ground and also at Old Trafford. We've not done a Bollywood film. The jaded coach of Southall United Football Club assembles a ragtag team and helps lead the team to a comeback season. And Marcus, if you don't want to be thought of as the Michael Owen of the Football Ramble Daily, you need to just buck your ideas up. Imagine having the balls to release a film in India all about soccer. And it's a cricket-loving country, for crying out loud.
Actually, football is the national sport there.
You're having a pop at Marcus, but I completely agree that 2 hours 36 is too long. I don't care what the plot is. Can they do it in quicker than that? Almost certainly. So I'm annoyed at you, but I will watch it.
I'll do a director's cut for you.
Thank you.
I've got even worse news. Charlie has just messaged us saying that it's actually 2 hours 47 minutes.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, my God.
Well, a hero will rise.
Yeah.
It's not far off two matches.
Dan Goal. That's what's happening next Monday. So, book out a Sunday night viewing of that.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. Jules and Andy, they're in tomorrow. So get your lug holes around that one. Luke, one more chat from the patron, please, my good man.
Yeah, I think the national sport of India is actually field hockey, by the way, Pete, Marcus, but we'll gloss over
wanker.
That. I just wanted to give another plug for our friends at Toshiba. Thank you very much for dedicating those three TVs to three of our Patreon listeners. They are smart 4K HDR TVs with free view play. That is all courtesy of our friends at Toshiba. Many congratulations to Russ, Jim and Joel. We'll be in touch. Look out for further competitions in the future for Patreon subscribers. It's patreon.com/footballrambledaily if you want to sign up. There's loads of great content over there, so please do so. Thank you very much.
Nice one. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
Say goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye, Jiving Jim Campbell.
Say sorry, Peter.
A la vida, baby!
And it's goodbye from me. See you soon, everybody.
That was goodbye in Hindi.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.